Hey there, community. I'm Stephanie Ansel, the host for the show. It is all about skills, learning how to balance validation and problem-solving strategies. Initially, it's pretty tough, both from my experience and observation. Sometimes certain skills take longer to learn and require more practice. Those tend to be on the change side of the dialectic, yet not always is that the case. No absolute truth, right? The hope is that with the practice, you learn to withstand pain, and in spite of certain parts of life just being plain awful, building a life worth living. Life has pain. Fighting it causes unnecessary pain that adds to the initial pain, which increases emotional vulnerability, which increases emotion mind, where facts are distorted and the midbrain has hijacked the problem-solving station in the brain. Get where I'm going with this? It's harder to change aspects of reality if we cannot first accept reality by using mindfulness and self-validation skills. Then, figuring out what the emotion is telling us and using a check the facts to see if opposite action is most effective or problem-solving, which may include a deer man. It's like Legos, but DBT. And I love that visual. I don't know about you. I do use this metaphor in therapy, which is an interpersonal effectiveness skill of being dialectical. I personally have never been to Legoland. Someday I will go, so I can feel my analogy rather than just think it. Those sculptures are incredible, and the integrity of each one depends on each block, which has been carefully placed based on a map that was previously designed, right? Imagine if one or several of those blocks were not in place, like they were missing chunks of blocks. It would not work as well, most likely. The sculpture may not stay in place, and it could come apart easier. DBT skills are designed much the same because they often must be used in tandem and or in succession to achieve goals. Keeping in mind what the goals are, of course, when experiencing a trigger. That, in and of itself, is a monumental task of mindfulness of current thought and emotion, and figuring out what the emotion is doing for you can be tough initially as well, due to not having emotion regulation skills that teach facts and research about emotions. It's probably my favorite module we teach, just because of the science behind emotions that I feel we don't get taught from a young age, and some of us have had some pretty ineffective models of emotion regulation, i.e. parents, caregivers, etc. I see a parent become dysregulated as they struggle to get their teen to quote-unquote cooperate, and it's not funny in the moment, but looking at it from another perspective, I spark humor in the group when I mention this. How can a child regulate if you aren't able? Monkey see, monkey do. It'd be like that sometimes, yet that is another reason why DBT is so damn helpful. So let's get to the meat of this podcast today. This is the final secondary dialectic Marcia describes and brilliantly navigates, so therapists and clients can push through even more hell. Active passivity versus apparent competence. This is a common experience, I think, for just about anyone, and I feel that one of the reasons I am so attached to DBT is it does work for just about anyone, and it is not a brainwashing technique. Quick side note, I've heard that before. I can see why one would think that, and yet being highly dysregulated and acting chaotic or avoidant and performing some, at times, pretty dangerous behaviors seems like it could use some examination and perhaps some restructure. I don't know. Lots of therapy gets people to try to think differently and behave differently. So what would be the difference with DBT? Acceptance of reality as it is in the moment, even with pain. That's my thought. Sitting truly with discomfort and not reacting impulsively. Or being actively passive when there is a history of multiple failures. Often we feel stuck, you know? Helpless. Hopeless. Seems very bleak. And there is a real fear of continued failure. Generally, the person is approaching problems passively and helplessly instead of determined and goal-oriented in how to achieve solutions for problems. Being passive looks like someone trying to actively get others to solve their problems or regulate their emotions. So, whose job is it ultimately to regulate our emotions? Recall that babies are born dysregulated, and it is the job of the parent slash caregiver to regulate that baby from the ages of 0 to 3. And after the age of 3, we are supposed to co-regulate with a parent or caregiver, and often we can't even do that effectively on our own until around age 30. You heard me. Trust-based relational intervention training taught me this fact, and it blew my mind. This is why your kids still call you and ask for help when they're 26. Just an example. Interestingly enough, Marsha includes studies of how active passivity shows up in both men and women, and as early as grade school, behavior can be observed from a cultural perspective, and it's been noticed that boys tend to be more active in solving problems, whereas young females will turn inward and blame themselves and or abilities, and then they will tend to give up quicker. Some research indicates that it could be related to the fact that girls are exposed to more interpersonal situations earlier in life, and they learn the helplessness paradigm much quicker as a result. I know the textbook isn't a thrilling read. Even I had moments of needing breaks, and I'm a nerd for DBT. Yet it does contain vital information regarding the treatment and strategies designed to help clients in the onward direction of their life. Let's talk about apparent competence. This will look like there really isn't an issue, yet it won't be translated throughout all areas of life. For example, someone may appear to be coping really well with life at certain times, and at others, behave as though they have no skills or they're very limited. It does look somewhat confusing for the people on the outside in the client's life because of that very phenomenon being fully capable, seemingly, in a variety of contexts, and then at other times, the capability is lacking. It's kind of an act in order to get others to believe in the ability of the client. They'll do behaviors that tend to mimic the colloquial standard per se. Folks in this dialectic will seem to have it all together and be doing their skills practice well and attending session and functioning in life as if there almost was no problem. Then there's a trigger of some sorts that will derail this set of behaviors, and often the client is stuck back in active passivity, hoping someone else will step in and fix what they are avoiding. Remember, this is about emotional dysregulation. It can be very mood dependent. The text states that there are several reasons why someone may be apparently competent. The competence is extremely variable and conditional. It's said that the person with borderline is stably unstable. Curious if anyone relates to that out there. To the observer, it's expected that the person display their competencies under one set of conditions that would translate into another set of conditions with the same competencies, and they would exist in theory. However, for the person struggling with symptoms of BPD, this is not the case. Such competencies often do not generalize. The second factor is the inability of the client to communicate their vulnerability clearly to important folks in their lives, and that will often include their therapist. The client may be burning with turmoil inside while in session, but on the outside appear as though they are in control. Inhibition of emotion invariably causes suffering. The third factor influencing apparent competence is how a person with BPD reacts to interpersonal relationships. Some folks have certain things modeled for us, or rather them, and they have protective factors, like being in the presence of a nurturing and supportive individual. Not all of us have had that factor to consider, and that's important to notice. Here's my takeaway. In order to learn how to be effective, we will need to be vulnerable to not being right all the time in regard to self and others. To get away from this secondary dialectic, one must start problem solving. Pick one, just one to solve and start there, then go to the next. Don't forget to use your worksheets. The group in Salt Lake is going through emotion regulation right now, and recently we checked in with problem solving homework. When the emotion fits the facts, it's time to problem solve. Worksheet 7 from Emotion Regulation is a great helper for this passivity issue. And as far as the competence, My take on that would be to truly look inside the self and figure out your areas of knowledge and understanding and look where you could improve on your current competencies. Find and watch a YouTube about the Johari window. J is in Jack, O is in Oscar, H is in Henry, A is in Apple, R is in Robert, I is in ice cream. Johari, just to find out maybe what you can do to increase your competence in areas you're unaware of. Hey, don't forget about building mastery in the things that you know increase confidence in self. I tell my clients, and I will tell you, I have rarely learned from the stuff I nailed perfectly. It was the junk I messed up on, and I'm grateful for those opportunities to make a mistake. It builds my learning zone and keeps me in curious mind. I hope you can capture the same kind of experience. I hope you all have a great time practicing your DBT skills. These are tough skills, and they are possible to learn, and some even master. Keep in mind also that all behavior is caused. Ask the self what's causing yours. I'm so happy you're here listening and practicing. Also, I do truly, deeply, greatly appreciate the flexibility of you all. I'm so sorry I'm not as consistent as I was in the beginning of this project. It's pretty hard to be vulnerable, don't you think? See you next time. Send me an email if you have questions or comments or concerns at Stephanie, traditional spelling, STEPHANIE, at the dbtcenterofutah.com. As always, thanks for being here. Have a wonderful day. See you next time.